I spent one full Sunday there, the last day when they were considering submissions from the Assembly. And I have great respect for Justice Mary LaFoy. I think she's a woman of great integrity. I was a bit disturbed by the atmosphere there, in that at one stage I felt like it was like addressing a pro-choice convention. Now, I'm not sure that was actually coming directly from the citizens who have been picked to represent, but there was a very strong representation of very well-known pro-choice activists who occupied the seats behind the citizens and who were very actively clapping various contributions, and also at one stage were shouting no, no, when somebody from a pro-life point of view wanted additional time to make a point. And I found that disturbing. Now, they were reprimanded by an usher who said there could be no shouting or whatever, but it meant that the atmosphere was more combative than I thought it would be.
Yeah, and I mean, were there similar supporters on the pro-life side?
No, there weren't. There were people there who were interested and observing, but there wasn't a similar kind of a noise level coming from that. I found that I was only there to answer questions. The main input was given by Maria Steen for the Ione Institute. And I found that the questions were very strongly in favour of pro-choice positions. Maybe for every two that would seem to be defending the right to life of the unborn child, there would be five or six people with, asking questions. And in my case, I was asked virtually the same question twice, even though I'd already answered it. And I was worried by that as well. I worried about the balance there. And there was another issue which I'm very concerned about, which is the submissions to the Assembly. People went to a huge amount of trouble to create submissions, but they were randomly selected, and they haven't even gone up on the website in total, and it's very difficult to actually navigate the website. If I could give one very concrete example, there's a wonderful expert in the area of care of children with life-limiting conditions. He's a Dr. Marty McCaffrey, and he made a very, very detailed submission and hoped to be invited to speak to the Assembly, but his submission, to my knowledge, hasn't even gone up on their website. Now, there was an atmosphere at the Assembly where people were saying, oh, the people who are pro-life are not producing any solutions. Now, this is a wonderful solution because it's a wraparound care package for parents, for the little baby, from the moment of diagnosis to long past the birth, and if it tragically happens, the early death of the child. So it is the most humane solution you could possibly imagine. But he wasn't invited to address the Assembly, whereas abortion providers, who have no compunction about taking the life of an unborn child, whose main activity is actually taking the life of the unborn child, were invited as impartial experts. Now, I found that difficult. I found it hard to understand why that would be.
And when you were at the Assembly yourself and you were listening to different people presenting their arguments, did you feel that it was always a fair and objective argument? Did you feel that everything was presented in a reasonable way?
Everybody was, I think, reasonable according to their lights. But some of the things that were said, and I might single out two that disturbed me particularly, Colm O'Gorman of Amnesty International said human rights begin at birth, and that governments can protect what he called fetal interests, but that human rights don't begin until birth. Which makes me wonder what magic there is in the birth canal that confers humanity on somebody. Like, biologically, that makes no sense. The other one I found extremely disturbing was Atheist Ireland, who said that unborn, they didn't use the term unborn children, they said fetuses are biologically human, but they are not human beings in the full sense because they have no biography. They said they are biologically human, but they have no biography, and what they meant by that is they have no memories, they have no relationships, they have no connections. So they were comparing them to an adult woman. Now, the question that immediately arises is, how are they ever going to acquire a full biography if you deny them the right to life? And they already have a biography. They already have parents, grandparents, 9 months of incredible growth within the womb, a community that has an interest in them. And they will have a full biography if they're allowed to unfurl it. So I thought the distinction between being biologically human and biographically human was very, very disturbing. Because it seemed to me human rights don't come from treaties. They come from being human. And once you say a particular kind of being who's biologically human doesn't deserve human rights, you're getting into very dangerous territory. Also, some of the citizens in the assembly were very disrespectful towards people. One member, for example, dismissed entirely anyone who had submitted a form letter. But the fact is that some people cannot articulate what they want, but they see something and say, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. And while they mightn't be the best example of submissions, the sheer volume of them couldn't be ignored, because the vast majority of submissions, we were told, were from a pro-life perspective. Now, if this is supposed to be a democratic assembly, that should count for something. The fact that so many people wanted to express their viewpoint, that they felt things should remain as they are. And it's my worry is that it isn't really a fully democratic process, that it's what I would call the illusion of inclusion, rather than being really allowing people to participate. And that's very worrying. Now, I know ultimately they will only make recommendations, and it will either go to a referendum or it may go to a referendum plus legislation and so on. But so much is being presented as if this were kind of the holy grail of democracy, whereas I think we saw with the previous incarnation, the Constitutional Convention, that the government took what they wanted and ignored what they didn't want, which makes you wonder about the purpose of it in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to ask you that. I mean, what do you think is the purpose of it? Like, why did the government go to so much trouble to have a citizens' assembly like this and to get all the submissions? Are they trying to pass the responsibility to some degree?
I think there's a very real argument that the government may be kicking this to touch temporarily. We have a very fragile government, a minority government, and I think that they just don't want to go there. But if we're talking about an issue of life or death, I mean, fundamental human rights, so I don't think that's good enough. Now, I do think the citizens who are partaking in it are doing so in good faith. They're taking it very seriously. I was very impressed by their level of concentration and their level of listening during a very long day when they heard 17 different submissions. A very long day. So I would in no way be impugning the people who are taking part in it. But I do worry about the motivation for creating it in the first place.
Yeah. And I mean, if you were to look at how it might be done, how would you think would be the ideal way to have it done?
I think the ideal way to deal with these issues is to look at it from a holistic point of view. So I don't think it is ever permissible to take an innocent life to solve a crisis, no matter how desperate the crisis is. So what is a good idea? It's to look at the various crises that women find themselves in and to say, what can we do about them? Take the issue of life-limiting conditions. I had a very dear friend, and her husband had a beautiful little baby who only lived for 9 weeks, 4 days and 3 hours. Now, in that time, they had to cobble together services. They had to kind of put a patchwork quilt of services together. There was no one agency that could wrap them around a care, so they could just spend those 9 weeks loving their little baby, not worrying about, well, where will we get night nurses from because we're exhausted? Where, you know, who can we go to if the tube becomes dislodged in the middle of the night? Do we have to wrap up the baby and bring him out to A&E? It would be so progressive and so forward-thinking if we invested a huge amount of money into perinatal palliative care, what some people call hospice care, which is not actually a place, it's an attitude. You can provide it in any of the maternity hospitals, any of them. Some of them do their best to provide it to women who choose to continue with the pregnancies. But imagine if we became world leaders in that, if people were coming from abroad to study how we do that, then people wouldn't feel they need to take the lonely journey to Britain to end the life of their child prematurely. What they would feel is, I'll be wrapped around in care, and this impossible, appalling, devastating circumstance will be made that little bit more bearable by support.
Yeah, I mean, it's a criticism that is sometimes directed towards pro-life people in the sense that they tend to say you're pro-birth, mm-hmm. and then it's good luck, you're on your own.
There is a criticism that pro-life people are only interested until, you know, the moment of birth. But I'm not sure it's justified. Because if you look at the single biggest charity in Ireland, it's the Vincent de Paul, which is run on a parish structure. All the collections happen in parishes. The shops are run in parishes. So taking care of people in poverty is done by the Vincent de Paul. There are innumerable charities that I'm aware of. For example, I know of Hughes House, which is a support house for parents of children who are experiencing not just life-limiting but very serious illnesses, and their parents have to be in Dublin all the time at the major children's hospitals. Now, that's hugely supported by pro-life people. So I'm not sure that the criticism is always justified. And if it is, we need to get our act together, and we need to make sure that we're, you know, life is an unbroken thread from conception to death, and we need to protect it at every stage.